The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Called systemically significant prices, calling for the federal government to set wages, food, gas prices. In 2020, you wrote a paper called The People's Ledger, where you said we need to abolish bank accounts and make everybody set up an account at the Fed where the federal government will have access to your data. In 2020, you wrote another paper called The Climate Case for a National Investment Authority, where you said what we need to do, the oil and gas industry, is have the federal government bankrupt them so we can tackle climate change. In 2019, you joined a Facebook group, a Marxist Facebook group, to discuss socialist and anti-capitalist views. Now, that's what I see from your record. And you have the right to believe every one of these things. You do. This is America. But I don't mean any disrespect. I don't know whether to call you professor or comrade.
Boom! The mic drop moment. Yesterday, as they're grilling this this Treasury nominee, she's going to be, if Biden has his way, she's going to be put in charge of the money, I guess. And he's going through all these examples from just last year. This isn't like in, you know, with John Brennan back in 1976, he voted for the Communist Party USA. These are papers and groups that she joined just a few months ago. Communist organizations. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. Just put forward the communists, and the communists will hopefully just force it right on through. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live stream every day at our website, thetrumpet.com. There's a big banner there that alerts you to the fact that we're coming on live at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. 11 a.m. every weekday morning. You can go to thetrumpet.com/live to get to the live stream page and to get to the podcast page as well if you'd like to listen on demand. So here is this I guess she's going to be over the office of the comptroller of the currency, this woman who's a communist. And it's good to hear someone just state it bluntly. They didn't like it over on the Democratic side of the aisle there. But that's Senator Kennedy yesterday saying, I don't know whether to call you a professor or comrade. And she went on to explain that, well, I'm not a communist and so on and so forth. She's also guilty of shoplifting, by the way. She stole $300 of merchandise from TJ Maxx. I guess it seems like that should matter. Well, maybe not today. In the era, in the shoplifting epidemic that we're seeing all across the nation, just recently in Chicago, look at this footage, clip 4, of these people just waltzing into this expensive store, and within seconds, it's coordinated. These people know they were watching last summer. They know that law enforcement is standing down. So they just rush in. It's all on camera, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just grab and go. That's what they do in San Francisco. It's what they do all over the United States right now. Chicago, New York City. Just grab it and go. It's not even a crime, is it? Doesn't count as a crime anymore. But make sure, let's go after it. You look, Victor Davis Hanson has a great piece, by the way. Just to move ahead a little bit in my notes, talking about all the things that the DOJ is going after, and then the crimes that they don't even care about, the crimes that they're not even worried about. If I can find it in my notes, here it is. Can the FBI be salvaged? Well, it's making actually a little bit of a different point here. But in this article, he gives all of these non-crimes that the FBI is pursuing. And we know what they did for 4 years with Donald Trump. It says, for its own moral and practical survival, the FBI should be given one last chance at redemption by moving to the nation's heartland, perhaps Kansas. You got to get out of the swamp, at least. If it's to even be salvaged, we've got to get it out of the swamp. Brett Stevens, he writes at the New York Times, just a rabid never-Trumper, but he came out with a pretty scathing rebuke of the FBI over the fake dossier. Stevens said this. He, if I can find the article or the quote. Says here, James Comey appears to, further on, of such dross was spun years of high-level federal investigations, ponderous congressional hearings, pompous Adam Schiff soliloquies, and nonstop public furor. But none of that would likely have happened if the FBI had treated the dossier as the garbage that it was. It was garbage from the beginning. The Federal Bureau of Dirty Tricks. It's even worse than Stevens brings out. It was treason. It was treason, and they got away with it, just like those shoplifters. They got away with it for 3 years. But to see even Brett Stevens come around, this is the New York Times. We were told all through the Trump presidency, and it was all based on the dirty dossier, which we knew. We were telling you from the very beginning it was a fraud. And the thing of it is, they knew it. Comey knew it. Those news agencies that broke the story in early 2017, they knew it. It's just propaganda. Lies. And they used it to target a political enemy. And now you've got stories that I bring to you every day showing that they're targeting just ordinary Americans, like I went through on the program yesterday. Use it, weaponizing the DOJ and the FBI to go after their own people, our own people, and to cozy up to the communists like Joe Biden did this week with President Xi. This is interesting here from CNN. Kamala Harris to become the first woman with presidential power while Biden is under anesthesia for a routine colonoscopy, colonoscopy, a routine procedure, I guess. He's going under this afternoon, and so, well, we've got our first female president, I guess, in the United States, fake president, I should say. Kamala, she's had all these, well, there's rumors swirling. Even Fox News is pointing out that Biden's people, Jill Biden in particular, wants to get rid of her. And now she's taking charge. This is hilarious to me. CNN, it says, President Joe Biden on Friday will temporarily transfer power to Vice President Harris while he's under anesthesia for a routine colonoscopy, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki reports. The nation's first female, first black, and first South Asian vice president will break yet another barrier when she temporarily steps into the acting role. How about that? She's a good actor. That's for I'm taking the meaning a little bit differently. But the president himself, illegitimate from the beginning, and he's an actor, and so is she. It's Barack Obama pulling all of the strings. It is interesting. I mean, you can only imagine what the conspiracy theorists might be saying at the moment. But with the Rittenhouse trial due to come down any day, and just craziness coming out of there as the judge has to kick out MSNBC because they're running through red lights trailing after the jury bus. Unbelievable. You guys can play that clip if you remember the number.
I have instructed that no one from MSNBC News will be permitted in this building for the duration of this trial. This is a very serious matter, and I don't know what the ultimate truth of it is, But absolutely, it would go without much thinking that someone who is following the jury bus, that is a very, that's extremely serious matter.
Yeah, and you've got jury members overheard saying this is unbelievably stressful. They're feeling the pressure. They're nervous. I mean, they've been deliberating now for days, all week, 4 days. They can't come to a decision. And then the media, these jackals, these hyenas in the media, chasing after the jury members. They really and truly are enemies of the people. They are. They're communists too, most of them. They're wanting to put their pictures all over the place, threaten them. They're right in step with the mob. They're like those people just waltzing into the store, ripping it off in seconds. Getting away with highway robbery. This is from the Kenosha Police Department. Well, I don't need to read it. They tweeted out, yeah, we caught this guy running through a light and so on. Then the journalist, his name is James Morrison, he said that, well, my MSNBC producer, and he named her as well. She told me to do this. She told me to trail after the jury bus. This is from Miranda Devine, by the way. There's lots of people that have criticized this judge, the one you just heard from there, as being a Trump loyalist or whatever. Miranda Devine, in that New York Post article I mentioned yesterday, all of these lies they've told about the Rittenhouse trial, she says, in fact, Schroeder is a Democrat. That's the judge. He's a Democrat. He's run for a Democrat with the Wisconsin Senate and was first appointed by a Democratic governor. He's a Democrat through and through. But even he can't believe what's going on. He can't believe how dangerous this is for a reporter. So he's banned him from the courtroom. Good for him. There's plenty of debate now whether or not he's brought up the point about the TV cameras. If it's going to put lives in danger, you know, he's wanted openness and transparency. But either way, the press is going to lie. That's what's so astonishing about this. Even when you have cameras that go into the courtroom and they actually expose the truth, they expose the lies that were being told for 15 months, still the media just doubles down. That's the way the communists operate. They just double down on the lies. They just keep telling the lies. This was from... I've got all kinds of notes out of order at the moment. I thought this was interesting, too. One of the guys emailed this through. Schools face parents who want to ban critical race theory and don't get how teaching works. Parents, they're ignorant. They don't understand teaching. And so, they're the problem. This is from NBC, the ones that were just booted out of the courtroom. NBC says an educator's top goal is to teach students to think. Parents who dictate curricula with their personal opinions, ideologies, and biases hinder that goal. They hinder the goal of teaching. The teachers are perfect. The school board is perfect. That's what was driving that letter that was sent to the DOJ and then the memo that followed. We went through that timeline yesterday. If you're in education, boy, you're perfect. And if you're a parent, you're the problem. That's the way Joe Obama thinks. That's the way the communist ideology lives. That's the way it goes forward. Separate the kids from the parents and let education, let the government take over. It says here, even then, there's no shortage. Or he talks about his personal example. He was in middle school or taught at middle school. It says here, part of the problem is that parents think they have the right to control teaching and learning because their children are the ones being educated. But it actually, gasp, doesn't work that way. It's sort of like entering a surgical unit thinking you can interfere with an operation simply because the patient is your child. What an analogy. Yeah, just hand them over to the surgeon. Let him cut them up, I guess. That's what we're supposed to do in a communist nation. Just hand the child over, whether it's to a surgeon or an educator. And their minds are just being filled with propaganda. It says teaching, too, is a science. I mean, this sounds almost like Dr. Fauci. Unless they're licensed and certified, parents aren't qualified to make decisions about curricula. Well, how about that? Thank you, MSNBC. Thank you, NBC. Unless I get some kind of a license, I'm not qualified to teach. Just trust the experts. Just trust the one that's got the degree or the PhD. Or the whatever the initials are after the name. It says here, in fact, parental interference can actually hinder student advancement. So the school board association apologized, remember? And then they just got crushed in Virginia. It was so overwhelmingly in favor of the Republican that they couldn't even cheat their way to victory. So have they learned their lesson? Have they entered into a period of maybe introspection? Well, let's rethink this. Maybe we shouldn't attack the parents. Maybe we need parental help and support. No, they don't think that way. They double down. They double down. They get the $2 trillion spending package through a couple weeks ago because of weak Republicans. And what do? Just a couple weeks later, they ram through Build Back Better. Another $5 trillion. All these Republicans who thought, well, we'll compromise a little bit on the first phase, but we're definitely not going to go through on the second phase. I guess we'll see what happens in the Senate. But there were a lot of senators on board with the first phase. Just weakness at every level. The communists, though, they're not weak, are they? No, they get one victory, you give them an inch and they go a mile. Even when there's a huge setback, like in Virginia, they still plow forward. This is NBC saying, yeah, the problem is the parents. This is Joe Biden trying to sell his bloated $5 trillion Build Back Better program earlier this week, clip 5.
And one more thing. It's fully paid for. Fully paid. It does not increase the deficit one single cent. As a matter of fact, it reduced the deficit, according to the experts. And again, no one in America earning less than $400,000 will pay a single penny more in federal taxes. No one. You say, well, how are you doing that, Joe?
Yeah, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? By raising taxes right across the board and just printing off money by the trillions and saddling the future generations of America, if we were to go that far into the future, with tens of trillions of dollars of debt. Just lie after lie after lie. It's going to reduce the deficit? Is he crazy? Is he insane? $5 trillion in spending. And it actually reduces the deficit and lowers taxes. This is worse than people living in fantasy land. This is an attack. This is a communist attack. Listen to Representative McCarthy. He got a little bit of attention last night for going on and on for 7-8 hours just to delay this. And he brought out some of the facts of this 2,000-page spending bill, clip 1.
A bill that the White House chief of staff recently bragged is twice as big in real dollars as the New Deal was. Let that sink in. More than 2,000 pages, $5 trillion, twice as big in real dollars as the New Deal was. Let me be clear. Never in American history has so much been spent at one time. This is the single most reckless and irresponsible spending bill in our nation's history.
Amen. Amen, says someone there at the end. Reckless spending. That's McCarthy, by the way, really trying to sound tough. He's been pretty weak. The truth of it is, he's been weak. There were, though, I think it was Mark Meadows yesterday floating the idea that Donald Trump should come back as a U.S. representative from Florida. And if they gain a majority next fall, that he should be the Speaker of the House. So now he's McCarthy's probably feeling a little bit of heat. I better speak to the base. I better speak to the Trump supporters. He had some truth there about this reckless spending package. But the truth is, too, that it went right through the House, no problem. Because not enough Republicans will stand up to the communists when they have an opportunity to do so. And they could have done it a few weeks ago. It's not just the House, the Senate. It's full of a lot of rhinos as well. The communists, they go forward boldly. There's no doubting where they stand. They get one victory, they go right for another. They take a humiliating defeat. They come right back stronger than ever, digging in their heels. Listen to this announcement earlier this week. This is a deal that Joe Biden was announcing with respect to this Pfizer pill that's coming out. Clip 7.
Earlier this month, Pfizer announced that its antiviral pill for people infected by COVID-19 that may dramatically reduce hospitalizations and deaths. They made that announcement. While it's still under FDA approval, I'm announcing today that we have purchased 10 million treatment courses with delivery starting late this year and all across 2022.
So 10 million treatment courses from Pfizer, and you can find elsewhere in the White House statements that they've released that the deal involved $5.3 billion. So over at Conservative Treehouse, they did the math. All right, you're getting 10 million treatments. You pay Pfizer $5.3 billion. That amounts to $530 per treatment, per pill. $530. It says here from Conservative Treehouse, laughably, the White House says, pending FDA approval, as if the FDA would not approve the Pfizer pill. It says, keep in mind, the U.S. taxpayer fully subsidized the research and development for the entire spectrum of COVID-19 treatment and vaccines. The development cost the private pharmaceutical companies, in this example, Pfizer, absolutely nothing. They had to pay nothing for the research and the development. And then it says here, we, the taxpayers, fund the COVID pill development through Pfizer. And then we, the taxpayers, purchase the final product from Pfizer, in this example, for $5.3 billion. It's a big money laundry. It's a big money laundering racket. Just like the 2,000-page bill that Nancy Pelosi just pushed through the House. Conservative Treehouse says, plus 10% for the big guy. The communist. The one that's just been raking it in. For years. For years. Bought and paid for by the CCP. This little montage made the rounds on social media earlier this week. Clip 6.
President Xi, is there going to become a time where you might call him old friend to old friend?
Let's get something straight. We know each other well. We're not old friends.
And the president this summer told Peter here that he does not consider President Xi an old friend. How would you describe their relationship going into this meeting?
Well, I think I can confirm, Peter, he just still does not consider him an old friend. So that remains consistent.
It's the first time for us to meet virtually. Although it's not as good as a face-to-face meeting, I'm very happy to see my old friend.
That's President Xi. He's calling him his old friend. Biden, you know, he's trying to walk away from that. But that indeed, they are old friends. It goes way back, and it's involved billions and billions of dollars. Just ask Hunter. Just ask Hunter. Bill Maher dropped a truth bomb on CNN the other night with Chris Cuomo saying if this laptop was about Don Jr., it would be wall-to-wall coverage on all the networks. But because it was Hunter, they covered it up. Because it's the daughter, forget her name, they cover it up. I mean, some pretty sickening things in the journal. Because it's the Bidens, because it's the communists, you see. You've got to cover that up. This book, I've referred to it jillions of times. He was right. Page 46, the communist infiltration of America was prophesied. All these subheads, the first stage of subversion, corruption of modern education, wrecking the economy, the Marxist plot to abolish the family. It's all there. We printed this many, many years ago. Herbert Armstrong, of course, was talking about the communist infiltration decades ago. And now here we are. You've got a senator yesterday telling this nominee for the Treasury Department, I'm not even sure I should call you professor. Seems like comrade might be better. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
I just want to squeeze in one more news item here before we get to our Bible study. This group called the Public Health and Medical Professional for Transparency filed this FOIA request to get access to the FDA approval process for the Pfizer jab. Listen to this. This is from Just the News. It says the FDA is asking a federal judge to give the federal agency until the year 2076, you read that right, or you heard it right, to fully release its documents tied to the approval of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. They want, what, 50 years before they hand over the process or all of the documents on how they came to approve this vaccine in 108 days, by the way. 3 months! It says here, the Food and Drug Administration made the request as part of a filing Monday in response to the Freedom of Information Act lawsuit brought by the Medical Transparency Group. The government informed the court that it has 329,000 pages of documents that apply to the FOIA request, and suggested releasing 500 pages a month, a rate it believes would allow for the redactions of exempt material. The proposed rate would mean the FDA would not fully release the records in their entirety for 55 years. Why would they want to wait so long? They approved it in 100. They were able to process the 329,000 pages, I guess, in 108 days. No problem. Now someone else wants to observe it through the FOIA request. And here's the FDA's response. This is your government. Your government that often talks about transparency and then works hard to cover things up, to cover up the truth. Pfizer has reason to be really concerned and worried. These couple of whistleblowers. There was the whistleblower about the testing process, where there were more deaths than were reported initially. And yet, here's the government. Here's Joe Biden, the illegitimate president, signing this deal. $5.3 billion. Yeah, U.S. taxpayers paid for the research, pay for the drugs as well. Thanks to Uncle Sam. Like I said at the end of the last segment, it's an attack, isn't it? The communist infiltration of the United States of America. It was prophesied. You can read all about it, and he was right. Toll-free number 1-866-930-3024. So this week we've been emphasizing this section at the beginning of The Incredible Human Potential, that wonderful book. Speaking of Mr. Armstrong, he was right. He wrote Incredible Human Potential back in the late 1970s. And it really is a book about the true gospel and how that true gospel was stamped out, blotted out by the devil early on in history, early on in church history, the first century. The disciples back then, who became the apostles of God, they took the gospel message around the then known world at the time. And then that didn't happen again until the 20th century, when Herbert Armstrong took that true gospel message right around the world, fulfilling the prophecy in Matthew 24, verse 14. I'll leave that to you to read at your own time. It says, I must call, this is in IHP, I must call the reader's attention again at this point to the fact that a full and complete understanding of the message sent by God to all mankind by his divine messenger Jesus Christ involves a vast comprehension of God's great purpose and of events, prehistoric, historic, present, and future. Mr. Armstrong said, I might say it means an overall understanding of everything. Really, a general understanding of everything. We bring young people into God's college every year and educate them in the liberal arts. A general education with the Bible as its foundation, because as I was telling the students even this week, it's important for them to be balanced, to receive a general education with a solid foundation, and above all, to learn how to live. That used to be the motto of Ambassador College before the Laodiceans destroyed it. Recapture true values. What are the true values as opposed to the false? Educators don't know. Students, look at the students. If you just examine things or judge things according to the fruits, going back to that story I mentioned in the first segment, where the NBC journalist is saying, if you don't have a degree or if you don't have the credentials as a parent, you shouldn't interfere with anything that goes on at school. Well, look at what schools are turning out. And yet still you see or hear them talk about their profession and they're just filled with vanity, arrogance. Here are worlds going up in flames around us. People are waltzing right into Louis Vuitton and just stealing $100,000 in merchandise in a matter of seconds. And then they leave and head home. Another day at the office for them. Where's law enforcement? What happens when you see a total breakdown of law and order in a society, in a nation? Going back to the incredible human potential. It says, once understood, it will seem that the supposedly stupendous fund of knowledge disseminated in the great universities is in fact infantile. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what the great universities are churning out. They may have some people that really, you know, they speak smooth things. Maybe they're polished. Maybe they can become an anchor at MSNBC and make $2 million a year. But that doesn't mean they have an understanding of the true gospel message. That doesn't mean that they're praying fervently each day, "Thy kingdom come." The truth is, those talking heads, they love this world. Even as violent and as deviant and perverted as it is, they love this world. And what does John say in 1 John 2? If we love this world and the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in us. That's what we see in our nations. That's what we see in our world. There's a love for worldliness, but certainly not the love of God. And only the love of God will solve the many problems of this world. It says here, it will seem as if man knows now almost nothing, for the missing dimension in knowledge is the all-important knowledge. When you delve into the depth of the true gospel that Jesus brought to this earth, you really see just how pathetic and insufficient the education of this world is, whether down at the elementary level or right on up to the university level. Mr. Armstrong says, I say Christ's gospel, the message he brought from God, was the advance good news of the establishment of the kingdom of God. But what does that include? And why is the kingdom of God necessary? Just how does it affect and relate directly to your personal and individual life? And he goes on and just gives these beautiful paragraphs about all that the gospel, the true gospel, all that it includes, all that it encompasses. And as I say, we've covered some of these points recently in class, in doctrines class here at God's College. One of the points that it includes is human nature, the truth about human nature, its source, and its impact on world conditions. They don't teach this at the great universities of the world today. They have their courses on psychology. They may talk about the physical makeup of the human brain, but they know nothing about the human spirit, as it's explained in your Bible. They know nothing about Job 32 in verse 8, or 1 Corinthians 2, where God talks about the human spirit and then the Holy Spirit. They know nothing about Romans 8, where it says God's spirit joins together with our human spirit, and that's what makes us children of God. They know nothing of this. They know nothing of Satan and his influence on this world. They don't talk about Satan being the god of this world. And listen, this is not just missing from education, the world system of education. Incredibly, it's missing from religion. It's missing from the Christian religion. The truth about Satan being the god of this world, the truth about Satan being the prince of the power of the air, he's the reason for all of this turmoil, for all of this violence and lawlessness. He's working in the minds of men. And scriptures bring this out. In the incredible human potential, it says, the true gospel, when fully understood, explains the origin of the devil. Did God create a devil to mislead and harass humanity? The gospel explains how Satan came to be the great, though invisible and hidden, power that sways invisibly and actually rules this world. It explains why Satan moved with all his wiles and subtleness to suppress through humans, he could sway this vital gospel message which God sent by Jesus Christ to mankind. Satan hates the true gospel. He set out to just stamp it out entirely. Right away, he went on the attack. And you look at what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, this great counterfeit system set up and established by Simon Magus, one of Satan's ministers, one of Satan's apostles. Satan's got a gospel message. He uses false apostles, and it's about a false Jesus. Paul encountered that in Corinth. To the people in Galatia, he said, "I marvel that you've turned away so soon to another gospel." As if there's another gospel. There's not. That's what they had done in Galatia. And then all through the book of Romans, Paul sent that letter right into Rome, where the great false church was being established. And he addresses a lot of false doctrine that had been circulating around the area of Rome. That's why Paul, throughout the book of Romans, now when he's getting into grace and subjects like that, he says multiple times, now, do I mean that the law's done away? No, not at all. There were a lot of false ministers who were saying that, like Jude 3 says, turning the grace of God into a license to disobey. A religion with no substance. That's what traditional Christianity promotes. Let's be honest. Just come as you are, stay as you are, and then feel pretty good about yourself. Nothing about repentance or sin or overcoming our adversary, the devil. And nothing about human nature. This sick, infirm nature in man that's there because of the devil's influence. It's actually Satan's nature because it comes from him. He is a master broadcaster. Jeremiah 17, notice verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I mean, who can know the human heart? There's just so much wickedness. It says in Genesis 6, before the flood, that man's heart or mind was on evil continually. How do we get to that point? How do we get to a point where journalists who pride themselves in being truth tellers, regular, even when the footage is right there in front of their faces, tell these outlandish, audacious lies straight to our faces? And a lot of people believe it. Dangerous and sick. Incurably sick. That's the meaning here in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Now you look at the system of education, modern education, it basically looks on the human heart as being, you know, good and trustworthy. That's what you get out of, it's progressing, right? Progressive. We're getting better. Everything's getting better and improving. I mean, now we've got Build Back Better. It's improving the society around us. The government elites above us. It's just getting better and better. Your Bible says exactly the opposite. You put Jeremiah 17:9, together with 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil seducers just wax worse and worse and worse. That's what's happening. Don't let the technology advances. Don't let that fool you. It's getting worse and worse. Mr. Armstrong, he used to talk about the world wars. World War I, it ends in 1918, and there's just a little bit of a respite, a little recess between 1918 and 1939. And then he said, following the conclusion of World War II, what we're in right now, it's just another recess. And the next go-round, well, then there's going to be nuclear weapons. And when you have human beings with hearts like what's described in Jeremiah 17:9, and weapons like we've created in our modern age, what will happen? Well, you know what will happen. Mankind's going to use those weapons because of the sick, dangerous, infirmed heart that we have. Dangerously wicked, desperately wicked. Matthew 9, notice this. Verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eat your master with publicans and sinners?" Why is he eating with these sinners? Why is he dining with these evil people? "But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." These Pharisees, they didn't see any evil or sickness in their hearts, but they saw it in these publicans, in these sinners. In fact, there's sin that dwells in all of our hearts. And Jesus Christ came to lead us to repentance, to lead us out of captivity, out of sin, out of the ways of this world. In the Jeremiah booklet, my father's booklet, this is referring back to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, where, I'll just read it again, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Here's what my father says about that verse in the Jeremiah booklet. "Understanding this profound verse is more important than any education in this world." Just understanding this verse, this profound verse, it's more important than any education you can receive anywhere else in the world besides God's church. He says, when we understand it, radical action is necessary. The greatest need is to understand God, to let Him reveal our own sickness and to heal it. That's what we need. That's what you and I need. We need healing every day so that we can be led by the Spirit and filled with the love of God. This is what the people all over the world need, this kind of healing, and this healing is coming. Jesus Christ is soon going to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And it says in Isaiah 11 that the truth of God's going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. It says here, the greatest need is to understand God, to let Him reveal our own sickness and to heal it. It says, until we learn this lesson, we're living under a curse. Now that's why we see so many curses today. We're living under so many curses because of sin, because of lawlessness, because of breakdown, because of a breakdown of law and order, and really underneath all of that, because of a total breakdown within the traditional family. That too is prophesied. Whole section in the Communist Infiltration chapter of this booklet, a whole section on the breakdown of the family, the communist attack on family. Satan, of course, is behind it all. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, notice this. It says here, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, the course of the whole world." You people in Ephesus, you, the few that came out of the world and into God's true church, they had, in the past, of course, they were just going along to the course of this world. That's what everyone does. It's all that we know. We just assume. We just take it for granted. Well, this is always what we've done. We keep these holidays, we observe these traditions, and we do this and we do that. This is we watch this kind of entertainment. Everyone does. It's the way of the world. Paul says, in time past you walked according to that course, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit working in children that would waltz right into an expensive store and just start grabbing things off the shelf and running. That's a disobedient spirit. And of course, it's out of control now because, again, there's no law and order. Police agencies, law enforcement officials, they're being handcuffed. Defund the police. Take away the law and order. And here's what happens. Mr. Armstrong said, I could have never understood this verse, until number one, I had understood how radio and television sounds and pictures are transmitted through the air. And then two, I had learned the truth about the human spirit in the human brain. It says, if your radio is set on the proper radio wavelength or television set is tuned to the proper channel, the broadcaster's message comes through clearly. Satan, as the prince of the power of the air, broadcasts, not in words, sounds, or pictures, but in attitudes, moods, impulses. He says Satan moves on the human spirit within people to move them in attitudes of envy, jealousy, resentment, impatience, anger, bitterness, and strife. Says here, people have no realization of the tremendous power of Satan. They have no realization of just how powerful the devil is. It seems as if Satan has surcharged the air over the entire earth with his attitude of self-centeredness and vanity. The earth just filled with Satan's attitude. And all of these human beings, billions and billions of them, just automatically tuned in or plugged into this satanic wavelength, repenting of sin, coming out of this world. That's how we disconnect from Satan's influence. And even when you're in the church, even when you're in God's family, it's a daily battle to put down those carnal impulses, to draw near to God, as James 4 says, to resist against the devil so that he'll then flee from you. There is a way to break free from this influence, to break away from this kind of attitude, this kind of satanic attitude, these kinds of satanic impulses and moods. But we've got to really be proactively plugging into the Word of God and crying out to God for His Spirit to fill our minds and hearts. The prince of the power of the air, that's verse 2. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I mean, this is just the way we were in the past. Verse 3 in the Moffat, it says, among whom all of us lived, we as well as you, when we obeyed the passions of our flesh, carrying out the dictates of the flesh and its impulses, when we were objects of God's anger by nature, like the rest of men. That's just the way we were, but we've come out of that. We've been washed, as it says over in 1 Corinthians 6. We've been made pure through the power of God, by the Spirit of God. And now our minds can understand and know the truth about human nature, Satan's nature, human nature's source and its impact on world conditions. That's wrapped up in the truth of the true gospel. That's part of the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. And what a wonderful blessing it is for us to be able to understand that all-important truth. What did my father say? There's no more important education than this. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to submit some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.